next year, as Kimura proposed, King and Dukes published a provocative paper under the title of Non-Darwinian Evolution. Incidentally, Jack Lester King of King and Dukes was a professor of biology at this Santa Barbara campus. And King and I were good friends, and I hoped to visit once Santa Barbara, even if he died. And this I found a very nice campus. King was a population geneticist, whereas Dukes was strong on biochemistry. So combination of the two wrote a paper a little broader than Kimura. They discussed various aspects based on both population genetics and biochemistry. And it was very controversial and lots of discussion went on. At the beginning of 1970s, I thought that thank you very much. Thank you very much. This is the writer's model, how gene frequency changes just by chance. And this is a simulation result. This is gene frequency and time. It changes very rapidly in a small population, n is population size. In some cases it goes up, in some cases down, in some cases just fluctuating in the middle frequency. It's very chancy.
So gene frequency is what we usually call allele frequency? Hmm? In the previous slide, gene frequency is allele frequency?
That's right, okay. That's right. I'm sorry, that's mutant gene frequency I meant. Okay. That's allele frequency. And this is the picture of Kimura with his hobby plant, Paphiopedilum, in 1970s, I think. He was very fond of breeding orchid. And for completely neutral mutants, the behavior in the finite population can be analyzed by using diffusion models. This is a Kimura-Ota result. Gene frequency, neutral mutant, appears in the population, mostly lost by chance, but once in a while, a very lucky one went to their fixation. Gene frequency becomes one, just by chance. And it takes, on the average, 4NE is effective population size, we call. This is roughly equivalent to the number of breeding individuals in the population. Number of breeding individuals. 4 times effective population size in number of generations it takes. It's a long time if population size is large. If population size is small, it's not so long. And for a neutral mutant, average interval of these substitutions is reciprocal of mutation rate V. In 1970s, lots of protein data accumulated on evolution, and hemoglobin alpha, a gene tree of hemoglobin alpha, protein tree. And this is a percent difference of amino acid difference between these organisms. And you can note that this difference almost linearly correlates with the divergence time. Divergence time is taken from paleontological data. And this alpha, hemoglobin alpha, seems to be a nice molecular clock. And it was thought that the molecular clock was the strongest evidence for the neutral theory. But various proteins evolve by their characteristic rate. Rapidly evolving proteins, very slowly evolving proteins. There are many different kinds of proteins. And how do you interpret this? According to the simple neutral theory, K is evolutionary rate, VT is total mutation rate, including neutral and delta areas, and F0 is the proportion of neutral mutations among the total. And each 1 minus F0 is proportion of deleterious mutations. In this case, advantageous mutations are thought to be negligibly small, but may exist. In early 1970s, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. In the 70s, I thought that the natural selection is not so simple as to be distinguished between neutral and deleterious mutations. Complete separation is not possible, I thought. There must be intermediate class of mutations. For those, both selection and drift operate. And I call nearly neutral class of mutations, very weakly selected. And also in 1970s, there are some difficult problems on strict neutrality assumption. This is the one. We ask, what is the probability of two alleles taken randomly from the population being identical? At that time, electrophoresis was very popular, and lots of population geneticists are working to measure heterozygosity. Heterozygosity is 1 minus identity, two alleles being not identical. Many people are examining heterozygosity in natural populations. And this is a Kimura-Crow formula, and also Marekov derived this one. This F is a probability of identity. By twice the mutation rate, it decreases per generation. But by random sampling of gametes or individuals, it increases by this much. This is population size. N is population size. And at equilibrium, identity is very simple formula like this, and heterozygosity, very simple. Only one parameter, product of NV, comes into. If, however, by examining natural populations by electrophoresis, people found that heterozygosity is rather uniform. Not quite uniform, but lies in a narrow range. This is a Lewinton table, the middle of the 70s. This is heterozygosity. Homo sapiens, 6.7%. Moose, 9.1%. Drosophila, 11.9%. Just twice or so difference. What does that mean? That parameter, NV, product of population size times mutation rate. Does that parameter lie in such a narrow range? This was a serious problem, Lewinton said.
Excuse me.
Yes.
My understanding is now with genome sequencing analysis,
yes.
said that there's about one base pair difference per 300 or so.
300 or so.
How does that relate to this?
Perhaps genome heterozygosity is mostly you are measuring strictly neutral site, synonymous, or non-coding,
sure,
and so on. But this is a protein heterozygosity measured by electrophoresis.
Yeah.
And I thought if you bring very nearly neutral mutations into the model, and since they are very slightly deleterious, in large populations, they are selected against because NS selection becomes more effective, and small populations, they become effectively neutral. Then this pattern could be explained, I thought. Well, there are another problem with the strict neutrality. This is. And at that time, I examined protein data by myself by counting number of alleles fitting to particular frequency. This is Willis Tonai data of Ayala. This is Harry Harris data of English human. And this is a solid bar is observed number of alleles in this very rare frequency. This is expected under neutrality. This is observed value. This is observed value. Expectation. You can see that expectation and observation agree each other mostly, but excess of rare alleles can be recognized in both cases. They are likely to be slightly deleterious. But if you look at, compare these two, the difference is excess in this a few percent class in Willis Tonai, but in human, a very rare case only. And I thought at that time, this is probably population size is much larger here, NV. Can be much larger, and slightly deleterious selection would be effective here with Stoner, but not much here. That was my interpretation at that time.
Are you constrained by the same mean? You are expected by the same mean as the real one.
Yes, expectation was calculated by the same mean, yes.
So there's only one parameter to determine the whole thing.
And this is a diagram to show various three hypotheses, well, theories. Selection theory and neutral theory. Neutral theory put intermediate class here. I mean, not intermediate, between deleterious and advantageous, neutral class was put. Nearly neutral, this borderline class, I put, must be abundant, I thought. Actually, transition from deleterious to neutrality is a continuous process. This is a fixation probability, probability of fixation of a mutant array as a function of product of population size and selection coefficient. For a plus, slightly advantageous, it goes up, as compared with completely neutral case. For a slightly deleterious, it comes down. But this is continuous. So, for a large n, if s is constant, it goes down and down, and probabilities become less and less. So, there is a negative correlation between fixation probability and population size. For a completely neutral evolution, K is evolutionary rate, is just equal to neutral mutation rate. This is measured by a measured per year, so I divided by generation length. Whereas for a nearly neutral class, N comes in denominator because there is negative correlation. Well, this formula is not exact, so just negative correlation is predicted between population size and evolutionary rate. And furthermore, we have in real world, it may be more complicated. What is important is distribution of selection coefficient of new mutations. Suppose that is normally distributed for a nearly neutral class. W bar is mean fitness of the population. The S bar is negative. Because, as someone said, very good system already exists by past selection process. So most new mutations are deleterious, even at the very weakly selected class. And what is important here in this model is the product of population size times sigma of this distribution, n sigma. I have done some analysis with Tachida in Japan on this model. If n sigma is large enough, W bar goes to a very good state, and most new mutations become deleterious as compared to the population average, and evolution almost stops. N sigma is small, population and evolution does not stop, and it wanders around neutrality. It depends on N sigma. And again, under this model too, we have negative correlation between population size and evolutionary rate. Because N sigma is small, with small n, it's around here. But for N large and N sigma large, evolution stops. However, there may be even further factor in real world. This is again hypothetical curve I have drawn. For a species in a simple environment, sigma would be large. But if species has a large population size and occupies various environment, various niches, environmental effect would be canceled. So sigma would become smaller like this. So sigma might be differ depending on genetic as well as environmental diversity. And if I plot neutral mutations in terms of reciprocal of population size. You remember NS is one or less, it may be drift is important. NS is large, selection becomes predominant. And these parts may be called effectively neutral, and small population size again of a higher evolutionary rate, and this environmental diversity consideration too. So in any models, there seems to be a negative correlation between population size and evolutionary rate and drift and selection interact.
Is the 1 over n dependence preserved in this more general scenario? Is the 1 over n dependence preserved in this more general scenario, or could it vary with a different dependence on n?
This is just speculative model, and in nature it's
but within that model, what would be dependence on n?
Dependent on n, that's right. But actually,
is it still inversely proportional, or
if you think for example density of population, it's very difficult. Environmental diversity and population size relationship may not be so simple in nature. So it's difficult to as a model. Model, I think yes. There are some examples. They are now rather classical. Rapid evolution in small populations. This is a Hawaiian Drosophila island population, as compared with a continental species, seems to be evolving rapidly. And also endosymbiotic bacteria, as compared with outside ordinary bacteria, endosymbiotic bacteria evolving rapidly. In these cases, random drift become predominant as compared with continental or more abundant species. I did some analysis with along this line. Hawaiian Drosophila and continental species. I examined replacement and synonymous substitution number, and the ratio is higher in Hawaiian Drosophila as compared with the others. I also put mammalian data, but actually this protein is not quite same. Seems to be a different protein, so you cannot directly compare. Now, many population geneticists are trying to find out effect of natural selection by examining protein DNA polymorphisms and pattern divergence. And this is a very popular one, McDonald-Kreitman test we call. If you compare synonymous and non-synonymous substitutions between closely related species and within a species, if completely neutral theory is correct, these ratio should become the same, because proportion of neutral mutation remains the same. But the real data, there are some data that deviate from the prediction. This is one example. Replacement substitution is much higher when compared between species. And McDonald and Kreidman said these are advantageous adaptive substitution. There are now many more examples like this, and like McDonald Kreitman deviation, this is excess of non-synonymous substitutions between species, and the opposite case is also found in many mitochondria genes. Opposite means non-synonymous polymorphisms are excess as compared with species divergence. And for this, most people agree that these polymorphisms are likely to be slightly deleterious. They are likely to be slightly deleterious. And excess in polymorphisms, but not observed between species divergence. But this is more difficult to make interpretation. Well, many people think that this is advantageous mutant substitution. And Rando and Kahn put such a pattern into more numerical. Neutrality index, they call. They just take ratio of the two ratios. Two ratios, I mean, non-synonymous to synonymous divergence ratio between and within populations, and take these ratios, ratio of the ratios. And various published data were examined. This is mitochondria data, and they are nuclei. A neutrality index you can see very different pattern between these two classes of. And for mitochondria, many people agree that this large neutrality index is caused by slightly deleterious mutant accumulation in mitochondria. But for these, probably advantageous. You remember mitochondria completely linked genomes, and genes in mitochondria seem to have very basic function concerning electron transport and so on. So I think that the difference probably reflect genes, different kind of genes. It is now becoming clear that even synonymous substitutions are not completely neutral. That is because everyone know code table, and same code is has four codons and so on, in some cases six codons. There are tremendous transfer RNA abundance. It has been known for a long time, most abundant transfer RNA, the codon corresponding to the most abundant transfer RNA is the preferred codon because translation is much efficient. And less abundant transfer RNA is unpreferred. Okay? And Akashi examined Drosophila simulans data by using a sampling theory of of Soya et al. And he found that the frequency spectrum of preferred and unpreferred substitution is very much different. Unpreferred is a much largest frequency of singletons, just one in the sample and two in the sample, whereas preferred have a large fixed difference. And from the difference of the distribution, Akashi estimate that the product of population size and selection coefficient around 1 for preferred plus 1 and for unpreferred minus 1. This is a very weak selection. And this is a replacement case. This is even more extreme. But this data, fixed difference, mostly comes from a single locus. And this, we don't know if this is a real pattern or not. This may be an extreme case. And I think we can go. Sorry. Now, lots of genome diversity project going on, and people found many polymorphisms. And SNPs is a single nucleotide substitution polymorphisms. And lots of SNP data are accumulating. And these people found that the non-synonymous SNPs are rarer as compared with synonymous SNPs. And also frequency of non-synonymous SNPs lower than synonymous SNPs. From this, they say that non-synonymous SNPs may be slightly deleterious.
So these are polymorphisms, yes. I mean, not just polymorphisms outside the coding sequence.
This is coding sequence, synonymous, non-synonymous. Outside non-coding regions, I think data are coming out. Yes. I did some analysis myself about 5 or 6 years ago. I picked up these 49 gene sequences from the gene bank, from primates, artiodactyl rodents, 3 kinds of mammals. And I estimated synonymous and non-synonymous substitutions. And this is the number of substitutions per site. These figures are number of substitutions per site of these phylogeny of 49 genes. This is the average value. If you compare the synonymous substitutions of primate and rodent, this is very much higher in rodents as compared with primate. But for non-synonymous, this is higher, but not so much difference. What does that mean? Synonymous is reflect more faithfully the mutation rate, whereas non-synonymous substitutions are more influenced by weak selection. So you remember negative correlation between population size and evolutionary rate. That effect comes in here, not much here. Rodent has small body and large population size. Primate, large body and small population size. So drift is more effective here than here. So weakly selected weak selection, more efficiently work here, here. So, no, synonymous, much close to the strict neutrality. Actually, this number, estimated number, I use the approximation method, and this may be slightly biased. Jihen Yang did maximum likelihood analysis, and this is not quite good, but general pattern was supported by the maximum likelihood analysis too. Other people examined a different set of data. This is the ratio of non-synonymous to synonymous divergence. And this ratio is higher in human chimp as compared with rat mouse. That is there. That is in accord with the nearly neutral prediction, because selection works more efficiently, and non-synonymous substitutions more efficiently selected out as compared with synonymous ones. Ratio becomes smaller. But these people have done a lot of genes, a large number of genes, and I checked their data. Result turned out to be the same for this comparison and this comparison. It appears that this large data set analysis is not very sensitive to this kind of analysis, but I cannot find, well, I do not find a real answer yet. Also, there have been some of the mutation mechanism difference here occur. I mean, a repair system or replication system might have changed in this line, because isochore structure. Do you know the isochore structure? There are some GC-rich regions in mammalian chromosomes and GC-poor regions, and there are lots of argument going on. To me, some replication machinery or repair machinery might have changed here. And this kind of process might have influenced this ratio too.
So the interpretation of the previous slide,
yes,
depends on knowing the effects of population size.
Population size, mouse and rat. Yes, yeah, that's right.
So
that's
right. I mean, how do we actually know that other than by looking at similar data? Is there an independent way of estimating the population size? Yeah. Doesn't it involve using the same actual data?
Lin Chao did some analysis on the relationship between body size, generation time, and population size. And he said positive population size and generation time of mammals are negatively correlated, natural species. So rodents has a large population size, and selection is more effective as compared with primate.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's just difficult to know those numbers. One way of estimating the numbers is to exactly look at the diversity. If you use the data that you've got to estimate the population size.
That's right. Effective population.
To then interpret.
That's right. It is very difficult to have a correct estimate of effective population size in natural species. It's very, very difficult. And also, the concept of effective population size is confusing. For neutral mutants, we use for neutral mutants. But for definitely deleterious mutations, effective population size may be determined by a neighborhood size because they don't live long, just quickly selected out. This is a much complicated concept. So far, I talked about the average pattern of protein and DNA evolution. But another interesting problem is the variance of evolutionary rate. How much evolutionary rate fluctuates from time to time, or from species to species. And it has been noted for some time that the variance of evolutionary rate seems to be larger than simple Poisson process. It fluctuates more than Poisson process. And Gillespie examined this fluctuation of evolutionary rate by the dispersion index, that is the ratio of the variance to the mean number of substitutions. Ratio of the variance to the mean number of substitutions of these star phylogenies. And I did, according to his method, dispersion index calculation. And this weighted means because a rodent has a longer branch than primate, that lineage effect, average effect, should be subtracted when getting a variance of branch lengths, you see. So average branch lengths was weighted, was subtracted for weighting. By weighting, a synonymous dispersion index becomes very much smaller here. But for non-synonymous ones, are not very much different. And also, Zeng et al. Examined the Drosophila case. They found that non-synonymous has a not large dispersion index somehow. So, large dispersion index seems to be not so general, but often exist. Now, what is the cause of large dispersion index? I tell you, sorry. I thought some interaction system should be involved. So I did some simulation studies with the NK model, Stuart Kaufman, that probably you know. NK model is a N unit and K unit interact. This is the case of 3, N is 3. Oh, excuse me. This is the N is 3 and K is 2. Interaction among them. And fitness is assigned. This first zero here is the fitness under the background of 0, 0, 2 and 3 side. And all fitness is by random numbers. And this fitness of the sequence is by averaging these three values. Then, this is an example. You find two adaptive peaks here. By selection, if it goes here or it comes here, does not move anymore. It stops here or here. By drift, coming down or anywhere, depending on the strength of selection and population size. I modified this a little bit. This is in circle. And fitness decreases from the first site to n, so that there are variable site and conservative site, as in actual protein molecules. This is an example of the simulation study. This is a number of substitutions per unit time as a function of population size. And this is the value of k. This is k is 0 means independent site, 2 and 4. As you can see, this is a decreasing function of population size. So again, negative correlation between population size and evolutionary rate. I also examined some other I examined this dispersion index here. I found that dispersion index is just a little bit larger than 1, not very much larger than 1. The real protein shows, well, non-synonymous substitution, you remember dispersion index is 5 or 4, but only 1 point something is usually. This k is 0, is a little higher, but this is the case of no interaction. It seems that this NK model is not sufficient to explain protein evolution. I incorporated shifting of selective values with interval of this, and then dispersion index becomes large, as expected. Shifting means, in the simulation, complete reassignment of fitness value of selective value of each sequence. But still, it is not larger than this is 2 point something usually, not very large. Another factor that should be considered is change in population size. This is another complicated problem here, I recognize. That even for a completely neutral case, if we change population size under certain conditions, dispersion index becomes larger than 1. This is because when population size is large, neutral mutants accumulate, and population size gets small, these accumulated mutants substitute quickly, spread quickly. So this is another complicated problem over there. However, as it was recognized by previous people, duration time in staying certain population size must be long enough for a population size effect to come up in elevating dispersion index. As you probably know, people often notice bottleneck size. Do you know the story about bottleneck size? It is often said that at the time of speciation, bottleneck often accompanies. At the time of speciation, population size become very small, usually. A small number of individuals migrate and form new species sometimes. This is not very effective for inflating dispersion index. This is just a very short time bottleneck. Bottleneck size must stay for a long enough time in order to elevate dispersion index. And so I examined some duration time, and duration time must be several times of the reciprocal of mutation rate in order to make this dispersion index larger. Oh, this is completely neutral case, and this is the NK model. And in this case, completely neutral case show a rather large dispersion index as compared with nearly neutral models. So again, it is very difficult to distinguish neutral, nearly neutral selection models by examining dispersion index. So, drift versus selection problem has still many unanswered questions and problems. I might even say that the real protein evolution may be compounded. This is also pointed out by Gillespie. Compound process means that the basic random process is by step, and one step is composed of several mutant substitutions. And the number of mutant substitutions at each point also obeys random, some random distribution. This is a compound process, a compound Poisson process. Then dispersion index is expected to be much higher than unity. If you think for interaction systems between genes, like regulation genes, enhancer genes, and disease. Some of these underlying random process may be concerned with a total system, and each protein obeys to that system, but at each point, several mutant substitution occurs. This is probably realistic, I think. We cannot separate drift and selection here. Very difficult. Yes?
In addition to changes in the index of dispersion,
yes.
You would also expect a change in the shape, in the functional shape of the distribution. And that would be a mean to validate this hypothesis.
That's right. It also depends on the shape. That's right. Yeah.
So you could check it. Did somebody try to check the shape of this video?
For simulations, yes. But real world, it may be very difficult. There are some much effort to connect phenotype with genotype. And in some cases, in some very simple cases, it is possible to connect between genotypic change and phenotypic advantageous case. But it may be limited to a very strongly selected case, I think. And also for deleterious case, it may be a little easier to connect genotype with phenotype, as Kondrashov measures by a phenotype deleterious mutant effect. We can examine by genotype and also make inference with molecular evolutionary data. We can compare. In the future, not a very distant future, I hope. Dispersion index is a ratio of the variance of number of substitutions of branch to the mean number. You remember star phylogeny? You can calculate variance of branch lengths.
But suppose you're doing it with real data. You're doing it with real data, you need many pairs of genes on the same two species.
Yes. In my case, 49 trees, gene trees. And I calculate in each case variance and mean ratio. And get mean.
What do you mean in each case? How do you calculate the variance?
One gene, you have a certain number. You have a certain number of this branch lengths of hemoglobin alpha, for example. And you can calculate variance of three numbers. Okay? And get ratio of the variance to the mean.
So it's not a variance between genes.
No. Branch lengths. That's right. We know between genes lots of variance like this. Yeah. Because of large difference in evolutionary rate. Okay.
Would this be a good time for a break?
Oh, I think so. I almost finished a little bit. Suppose one Poisson process in this case, and at each step, several mutant substitution occurs, and the number at each point of number of mutant substitution itself obeys certain distribution with mean M, something like that. Then dispersion index is almost M times as B. Not quite.
So, can you understand, is this like, if I think of mutation as throwing little darts at the genome, would this be like throwing shotguns at the genome? So when, so several point mutations, when they occur near each other at a certain point in time.
Oh, you induce a mutation?
Well, or nature induces mutation.
And you examine that mutation. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Is that what you're saying?
No, in the evolutionary process,
yeah.
Consider protein process of protein evolution.
Yeah.
At underlying Poisson process. Occurs with as a fun. Well, in certain unit of time, Poisson number occurs. Okay, and each point of the Poisson process, some number of mutant substitution occurs, and the number at each point itself obeys some random distribution. Average is M.
So I think CSS is the amazing Poisson process, which has an e to the minus something or another. But that exponent itself is Poisson distributed.
Not quite. This is a this is what he calls I think that it's not quite the same process. Compound is at each step of the person process, certain number occurs.
The next person is really
different. Well, maybe.
Well, if it's not,
the word compound suggests that there are two such processes, and one of them I think we're all attuned to, and it's the second one we're not clear on.
Ah, second one maybe may not be person, it may be a normal or anything. Mean M.
What's the biological cause? Is it the period of present change due to positive selection? Or does one change trigger many other change?
That's right.
Periods of rapid evolution that occur
from time to time. I thought this may be realistic because certain interaction systems, some shifting is induced by some genetic background, and it accompanies several number of amino acid substitutions. And then this dispersion index is at least M times bigger.
What would happen if you had a gene where the strength of selection acting on different sites was different?
Excuse me.
If you have a gene with some sites which are rapidly varying and some which are slowly varying, because the strength of selection on different sites.
Within a gene.
Within a gene, yes. Does that influence this dispersion index?
It again depends on model, which is covariant, for example. Concomitantly variable site changes with time, with evolution. So you cannot fix variable site as an invariable site. In certain simplification, it can. So, if variable site and fixed site are unchanged and constant, it does not matter, probably. But in real world, it's very, very complicated. Because of perhaps shifting of interaction, something.
So, did you work on
it? Yes. With a chap named Langley, he looked at what it affects the dispersion rates for ratios of genetic disease, what you said. You expect if there's no change, if it's not compound, if it's just simple and it's all neutral, that number should be 1.
Yeah, should be 1. If I do simulation with completely neutral and everything, I get 1 really. But the problem is population size change have some effect under certain conditions, even for completely neutral cases, dispersion index.
And you think, is it epistasis?
Epistasis,
is in population biology terms?
Yes, epistasis.
What you think is the cause?
I think, okay. Yes, that induction system is probably. And the NK model seems to be not good for treating between gene interactions. Maybe protein interaction, within protein interaction, maybe all right, but not so, seems to be.
Related question, kind of, that I was thinking, my understanding is that when biochemists look at proteins, or geneticists look at proteins, they find they can substitute almost any amino acid for any other one. And it works pretty well. I mean, for most in vitro tests, most proteins are incredibly robust. And yet, from your in vivo assay or your population assay, it seems most proteins are a lot more sensitive.
That's right.
Than biochemists have found.
Yes, similar types. I'm not sure change are more frequent.
Yeah.
And, so.
The way I look at human proteins, they have a well studied genetic diseases. For example, hemophilia B, factor 9, there are 3,000 mutations in the database, and I think about 10% of possible amino acid substitutions are actually inactivated proteins. I mean, you have a clinical hemophilia, which means the activity in either 0 or 20%. I think there are a lot of, I mean, individual amino acid substitutions which just kill the function, and for those which don't do it obviously, feel there may be quantitative effect which is enough to meet the significant selection.
I think that it goes to show that the in vitro test, the biochemical test for protein function in many cases just isn't up to the number of interactions that are, you know, part of the functioning in the organism.
So in vitro test, so insensitive?
Yeah, I mean, my understanding, I'm thinking, I don't know, countless seminars I've gone to from Genentech people say, where they sweep across a protein substituting, you know, every amino acid for every other one, you know, every cassette of two or three. I mean, brute force, genetic engineering, marching across the protein, and then assaying, you know, by massive probiotics, every in vitro activity they can for these thousands of derivatives of protein. And most of them work the same way. It's amazing how inflexible. And from the point of view of AMBR suppressors and bacterial genetics, I mean, AMBR suppressors put in some other amino acid. Most of them work pretty well, and they make just a few percent of the protein. You know, but you're measuring kind of a gross phenotype to make an amino acid or form a colony. But it's often been remarked, isn't it amazing they work at all? And they work most of the time, and with this genetic engineering thing, it really does work almost all the time for the assays. And yet, you know, from in vivo, more subtle thing over the evolution, they don't. It just points out that there are many more subtle interactions.
Seems to be
not part of the biochemistry.
Yeah, but not necessarily subtle. Just think about one enzymatic function.
Yeah.
And that enzymatic function is essentially an active center of few amino acids.
Yeah.
All the rest is sort of for nothing if you're using just one test.
Yeah.
Then the question is, what for is 90% of the rest of the protein perhaps the same important as we know from in vivo studies as the active center? There are plenty of functions the protein is involved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We simply ignore it.
Yeah, I mean, but still it more or less folds. I mean, you know, so
right.
Yeah, even for the one thing to work, it's sort of robust, but you're right, of course.
Also, I would like to make a final comment on I read just a few of my written. An interesting case of the effect of genetic background on near neutrality is the activity of HS heat shock protein 90. Rutherford and Lindquist reported that HSP90 has a large effect on genetic variation. This protein is a chaperone molecule that helps various proteins to fold properly and to perform their functions. These authors argue that HSP90 helps accumulation of cryptic variations in ordinary conditions, but under some stress, these variations are expressed for selection to work. This may be related to near neutrality. If high temperature is a stress, cryptic mutations may be expressed only when temperature is above some critical value. So selection coefficient would vary from time to time, or from region to region. The variance among selection coefficient of mutants increases when environment becomes more uniform, and the probability of a mutant being advantageous or neutral gets larger in more uniform environment, and so on. And I would like to well, your comments on HSP protein story. What do you think?
So, thanks for that.